Would you like to be able to start conversations like a pro? Take the Sunday World, your daily dose of what's going on. Do not consume the Sunday World if you're involved in a drug cartel, you're a politician with something to hide, or you've appeared on a reality TV show and care about others' opinions. Consume the Sunday World responsibly. Always read the stories, gossip, and commentary.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
That's the sound of another sale on Shopify. In store. Shopify POS is everything you need to sell in person. From payments to inventory, Shopify unites your sales into one commerce platform. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/retail23. shopify.com/retail23.
We're back on the road this April with our live show, Cocaine Cowboys. If you want to hear the story of Ireland's love affair with Colombian powder and those who made millions in the gold rush, join us in Killarney's INEC on Saturday the 13th of April.
Tickets for Belfast show have sold out on Ticketmaster.ie, but limited availability remains at ulsterhall.co.uk. That's ulsterhall.co.uk.
He was generous with, you know, watches and cars, and his fitness business then, you know, employed a number of relatives as well. And yeah, of course, never really had any actual business. Don't think even any bank accounts associated directly with it at one point. He wasn't just high profile, like he was described in the Cab case as the Kinnan cartel's number one man. And, you know, the number one man for a billion euro drug gang. They're describing him as a significant criminal at an international level.
I'm Nicola Tallant, and you're listening to Crime World, a podcast about criminals, drugs and the sins of the underworld in Ireland and across the globe.
A public auction is to be held later this month, which will see the one-time home of Kinahan Lieutenant Ross Browning be put up for sale after it was seized by the Criminal Assets Bureau. The house, a gate lodge, a large outhouse and the land at Garrastown in County Dublin will be put up for auction with a reserve of more than $500,000. Today, I'm talking to Eamon Dillon as we go behind the hall door of the home where the cartel's top dog in Ireland once lived. This is Crime World, a podcast from SundayWorld.com.
So just copy that, okay, and then put that into your browser of choice.
Okay. And we're going to take a little tour then around the house.
Do that, yes.
Of Ross Browning, Kinahan boss here in Ireland, and this house has been seized by the Criminal Assets Bureau. Oh my goodness, look at this. Oh, I can walk around the house myself on this virtual tour. So now that's the kitchen. That is the kitchen, and there have been some, I imagine, fixtures and fittings removed. I mean, you can see there that there is no cooker, but maybe people take their cookers with them, do they?
Well, I guess so. Maybe it was needed updating or something.
So how would you describe this? Modern, nice big open plan room with double doors out to a garden. Kitchen diner?
Kitchen diner, and it's got a nice kind of curved flooring aspect there. You know, you can see where they don't do the tiles into the wood in a straight line.
Yes.
I'm sure the tiler and the wood fitter were really enjoyed doing.
There's a nice sort of tile feature wall, where there's obviously was a stove fire. That is also doesn't appear to be there, although the grate is down. So at one end of this room, there's a big L-shaped couch and a stone wall facing it that you'd have your stove, and presumably you'd put your television around there somewhere. It looks huge, this house. I'm going to go out here and see. I'm going to go down the corridor here now. This is really exciting. I never thought I was going to be a guest in Ross Browning's house like this. Obviously a bedroom to the front, nice bright fitted wardrobes and a lovely ensuite bathroom there. Are you in the same room as me?
No, I'm just wandering around now outside.
Are you
waiting for you to finish?
Waiting for me to finish.
I'm looking at the paddock. I mean, things are a bit overgrown. So, I mean, you know, it's a little bit overgrown. There's a bit of moss growing on the cobble lock. So, I mean, but it has, I mean, don't forget, it's last summer when it was actually handed over to CAB. So, we have a couple of outhouses and stuff as well. But this is the red brick house. So, this was actually Ross Browning's house with his partner.
So, only two beds, is it? This is called the cottage.
No, yeah, the cottage is the original lodge that was on the property, and that was derelict.
Is this and the house where, that was occupied by his mother?
His mother, oh. Julie Conway, and her partner, David O'Brien,
a former
member of the Guards.
Former member of the Garda Cold Case Unit. I didn't realise I was in their home there now. I thought I was in Ross's.
And interestingly enough, when CAB got their judgment, Judge Owens at the time accepted Julie Conway's assertion that a lot of the renovations were carried out, as she put it, it was all me and Dave.
Right.
Which included a €40,000 loan from the Garda Credit Union. So he actually said that, and was very specific, that the value of the property extending only to the curtilage, which I presume is literally the footprint of the house, that a quarter of the proceeds from the sale of Chestnut Lodge will go back to them. Yeah, okay. So...
Can I just tell you something? I'm stuck in Chestnut Lodge and I can't get out of it. Oh yes, here's the main house. Well, I'm going to just copy this.
I think you can actually go through the walls if you just click on them.
Oh, well, I'll go into Ross's house now and just have a look at that. I'm sure he won't mind me having a snoop. He's given it up anyway, hasn't he, for his...
Well, he didn't actually contest the case at all. He was named along with, you know, quite a few members of his family, including his mother and his wife. And you know, there was a certain amount of, you know, they did their best to hold on to, you know, both those houses, the shed, the land. It's 3.2 acres. There's also two pieces of land in Rush, which are very much kind of, I suppose, plots for a mobile home potentially, or, you know, it was on the coast. And you also had a terraced house in Deanstown Road in Finglas as well, which I don't think has been put on the market yet. So we'll try and keep an eye out for that when it might arrive.
I'm in Ross's house now and it is much snazzier, I have to say. So we have marble flooring in the kitchen, a sort of a marble topped fitted kitchen in that, and panelling along all the walls. I should be an estate agent. You go into another sort of a sitting room with a door outside. I keep getting shoved out into the garage here, which I don't mean to. I'm going to go upstairs.
If you look down to the left-hand corner, there's a couple of little logos there. And you can hit the floor plan and then click on each room.
There's the CCTV panel thing at the top of the stairs. Of course, when the Gardaí went into this house, they did discover that there was a tunnel underground leading to one of the outhouses and that there was a motorbike.
Better than that, Nicola.
Was it?
It was an escape chute. And if you go into the main bedroom, you will actually see where...
Seriously, can I go down it?
If you get into the bedroom, there's kind of a little curtain on a wall.
Yeah.
And that
then... I'm so excited now, I keep going into the wrong room. I see it.
See, it looks like a green thing.
Yeah.
So, and then if you go all the way back out to the steel shed...
Yes.
You'll see another hole in the wall.
Oh my God.
Where I presume there was some kind of ladder or a chute at the time.
So that's an upstairs spare bedroom, and obviously that was... purpose built for the purpose of escaping enemies or police? What would you think?
Both, maybe, depending. You're not necessarily going to know who's at the door when they're banging hard on it. So I'd say it's some kind of an escape route, or I don't know, maybe you want to sneak out to the pub when your missus is watching TV and get back before she realises you've been out. Who knows?
Look, Ross Browning is an interesting character, isn't he? I mean, we've seen him of late. He posts videos on social media. He's sort of got this spiritual Zen thing going on. He certainly at one point appears to have tried to cut his links with the Kinahan cartel, but appears to have been drawn back as they became more desperate for operatives here in this country because there have been so many arrests. He's a peculiar character. I mean, he went off and studied this kind of Zen living with a doctor in the States. I don't think a medical doctor now. I think one of these...
Doctors,
yeah.
Witch doctors.
And he climbs up trees in the jungle and...
Yeah, and he's been spotted in a park in Ashbourne, like doing his stretches and his...
Yeah.
his looks like Tai Chi movements or something like that, you know, very much, you know, going for
this
the...
This was a rural, like, I mean, this was a big pad. This was a big compound, as we called it before. And there was obviously other building works going on for the stabling of horses and whatever else in this fields. Like, this was something that Ross Browning could only have dreamed of when he was growing up in Hardwick Street Flats, which is where he sort of became entangled with the Kinahan organization. He would have grown up in the shadow of Gary Finnegan and other very close associates of Daniel Kinahan. And I think he sort of started out his criminal career as a joyrider. His father was actually one of the campaigners against, you know, the concerned family parents against drugs in the area. But he didn't appear to live with the father. He lived with his mother there, and obviously bought this pad out in Garristown in County Dublin, built that red brick house, which is his own, and then on the old lodge on the property, his mother moved in. They're a close family. We discovered that from the Criminal Assets Bureau case.
Yeah, I mean, there was a huge amount of material came out. I mean, and very much his plan was to try and, you know, disperse his drug money through members of his family. I mean, there was other members that used like credit cards to book even people related to the Kinahans, directly related to the Kinahans, to fly from the States to the various parts of the world. You know, there was people, you know, using credit cards to book other flights for other gang members, you know, to various places. You know, there was, and in return then he was generous with, you know, watches and cars, and there was, you know, his fitness business then, you know, employed a number of relatives as well. And yeah, of course never really had any actual business. It certainly didn't seem to have had any actual real business. There was, I don't think even any bank accounts associated directly with it at one point. So, you know, in one sense, it was kind of a clumsy attempt at kind of hiding your wealth. It was possibly, I suppose, the whole thing was conceived before they even thought about the Criminal Assets Bureau, or didn't think the Criminal Assets Bureau would come after them. I mean, it was valued at about 1.4 million, like the all the assets that they were going after. Now, there's a reserve price on this particular property at 550,000. But I mean, Garristown and North County Dublin are, you know, prices are pretty keen, to say the least, you know.
The auction date and time is Thursday, April 25th at 12 p.m. I mean, this is going to sell. It's all being sold together. You can't buy the property separate.
With some of these auctions, like, they'll initially, obviously an auctioneer is, or somebody, you know, who's selling it, in this case the state or the Criminal Assets Bureau, they want to sell it as a single lot.
Yeah.
But like, if somebody offers a very good price for a, you know, a portion of the land, you know, and it hasn't sold as an entire lot, you know, that will be entertained at some point down the line. It won't necessarily, you know, initially be. I mean, obviously a potential sticking point for, I suppose, any buyer is going to be the previous owner. Now, it was pretty much handed over, you know, without a fuss in the end. I mean, we have seen in the past where we know Liam Byrne's property in Clondalkin that he had was, you know, burnt out and severely damaged. And it's happened in one or two other cases as well, where people go, well, if I can't have it, you can't have it.
Yeah.
So in this case, I mean, it has been left intact.
Very much so. It's very nice.
You know, so I mean, in that sense, I suppose the members of the family have played, you know, ball with the authorities. Mm. And there was a bit of to and fro. They hung on as long as they could, or, you know, and it was last June, I think, when they finally handed over Chestnut Lodge.
Yeah, I mean, I feel this happened so quickly because was it 2019 that these properties were raided?
It was around that, yeah.
I mean, probably doesn't sound quickly to people, but for the Criminal Assets Bureau to go from walking in the doors of a property, walking away with documents, computers, whatever else they seized, and to actually get the keys and have this up for auction within, you know, 4 years. That's pretty good.
Well, we saw that now in Margot Gately's case, that very much, that went to hearing just 2 weeks ago, and it was very much all down to, I think, a detective sergeant who raided the house following the Regency Hotel, noticed the very heavy metal door and thought to himself, that must be expensive. And then went on to see the big extension that doubled the size of the house at the back. And, you know, and Charlene Lamb, Margot's partner wasn't able to really, it wasn't, she refused to give any explanation about how it was paid for. And that was the kickoff for the cab investigation. So that's a 6 year cab case, which was obviously running alongside all the kind of heavyweight investigation into the gangland feuding at the time. Mm. And even by cab standards, like it was a slow enough case. It went on and on. I mean, like the first legal aid hearing, I think, was back in October 22. And here we are now. And I mean, it took until March 24 before it finally came to hearing. And, you know, the judgment has still yet to come down.
What do you think that warehousing was going to be for? I mean, there's seating attached to the wall there. That's obviously where the chute is.
And that was the motorbike belonging to...
And the motorbike was beneath it. So
yeah, belonging to one of the Fowlers from Blakestown. And that was mentioned in the cab case as well. And
the motorbike was belonging to them.
Yeah, and it was actually used as, you know, to show another link to criminality. So this is where the Blakestown house, the Fowler's Blakestown house, is where Imre Arrakis.
Of course, would that have been like one of the currencies of crime that we talk about when you see houses? I mean, Ross Browning at one point was registered as owners of some of the houses down on Hyde Road and in Limerick, where the McCarthy Dundon gang.
Yeah. And you had a Dubliner, it was a Barry Doyle, ended up staying in one of those properties at the time when he was working for one of the Limerick gangs for the McCarthy Dundons.
So they're the kind of things they use as currency. They use cars, they use motorbikes, etc. But that, in behind that, where that motorbike was parked and where the chute from the bedroom comes down, the escape chute, that's looking like, you know, seating for people attending some sort of a show jumping. Is this a show jumping arena that he's built?
I mean, well, you could do. I mean, it's not exactly Jessbrook, you know. I mean, you're not going to have entire gym
cameras.
It is big, yeah. But I'm sure, you know, you could do a lot of your rural pursuits indoors there, all right. It's a sizable enough.
Look, it's very sizable. I mean, these 550,000 sounds like, I suppose that's only the, you know, the...
It's a reserve price. I'd imagine 3 acres and, you know, with, you know, that you can build on in Garristown is on its own is going to be extremely valuable.
I mean, you could certainly run some sort of a business out of that property there, that warehousing, which looks as if it's top spec built from what I know. But I mean, there's flooring in it. There's, you know, it's brick halfway and then the is that tin? Aluminium? Roofing?
This is a metallic roofing of some
kind. I'm liking it. I'm liking it.
Galvanized.
So it is presented by BRG Gibson Auctions and it's there available for anybody who wants to have a little look in behind the hall door of Ross Browning's Garristown pad, and anybody who's interested in buying it, of course, it's up for auction. What about Browning? What's going on there?
Well, apart from doing his Tai Chi in Park in Ashbourne, I presume he's still, you know, part and parcel.
Remains in Ireland mostly.
Yeah, like he's obviously, there was a point where he might have feared that he was going to be arrested, you know, and charged with serious crimes, but he hasn't as yet. Now, that's not to say there aren't some investigations ongoing. And
he must be the only one that hasn't. I can't think of anybody else that remains in the country that is anyway high profile in the Kinahan organisation that has escaped investigations, including money laundering and facilitation and everything else.
He wasn't just high profile, like he was described in the cab case as the Kinahan cartel's number one man in Ireland and, you know, the number one man for €1 billion drug gang. So, I mean, they're describing him as a significant criminal, like, you know, at an international level.
Mm.
And no, he hasn't been, as far as I know, there's quite strange,
all right, but anyway.
We'll see.
Yeah, we'll see. And let's see how much that gaff goes for.
Will you be bidding yourself?
I like that whole idea of having a slide from a bedroom into
maybe for a slide
shed.
Into the bedroom.
It's a bit like the National Lottery ad, is it?
It's not as, I suppose,
it's like
imaginative.
It's the thing you'd say to somebody, if you won the lotto, what would you, you know, and you could do anything you wanted in your house, what would you do? And they said, I'd build a chute, an escape chute from my bedroom. It's quite a dreamy fantasy type thing to do, isn't it? I mean, I can see the practicalities of it, obviously, if you're in that business. But...
Yeah, but sometimes reality, I don't think, lives up to the dreamy fantasy part. I mean, certainly not... You know, something that you'd see in, I don't know, it's not the Batcave, you know.
Somebody could just sort of change it up a bit and make one of those sort of roundy slides and then put a paddling pool in the bottom of it.
You could do it. You probably need to change, apply for planning permission and all that. It'd get a bit boring then, really, wouldn't it?
Yeah, but it's fascinating to see that, isn't it? Anyway, right, let's see how much that goes for. Thanks, Eamon.
Thanks again, Nicola.
You've been listening to Crime World, a podcast from SundayWorld.com. Produced by Ian Mullaney and edited by me, Nicola Tallant. Research assistant is Claude Amini. If you like this show and love true crime, leave us a review. Or why not download the free SundayWorld.com app for lots more stories from Ireland and across the globe.
Would you like to be able to start conversations like a pro? Take the Sunday World, your daily dose of what's going on. Do not consume the Sunday World if you're involved in a drug cartel, you're a politician with something to hide, or you've appeared on a reality TV show and care about others' opinions. Consume the Sunday World responsibly. Always read the stories, gossip, and commentary.